John chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. John 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it is cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you tonight, we pray, God, that you'd have your unhindered way with your holy word in our lives, O God. We pray, Lord, that you quicken our understanding, God, that you speak to each and every one of our hearts, Lord, as we look at your holy word tonight. And Father, we'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. This passage of scripture, for me, it had a real revelation in my life. As I began to read the Word of God and I began to seek out to know what it would mean to really be saved, to be changed, to be transformed, and I knew down in the center of my heart that I needed to be born of God. I knew it. I knew there was some family heritage in my life, and I knew that what it meant to be saved in many ways, and I understood that. But the church that I was going to, they didn't teach that. They didn't teach anything to do with a new birth. In fact, when I went to the pastor and I asked him specifically about John chapter 3. Now, most of the world has heard John 3:16. We could probably all quote it that are sitting here. But a lot of times in a lot of churches, they never even touch on the beginning of John chapter 3. And I asked this particular pastor of the church that I was attending, and I said to him about this scripture here and about how it talks about being born of God, being born again, that we can't enter into the kingdom of heaven unless we've been born again. And in talking with him, he said, that's for the Jews. The Jews needed to be born again because, you know, but if you're born into a Christian home and you come to church and join the church, then you're a Christian. But the Jews who did not believe in the Messiah, they needed a new birth in order to become a Christian. And I thought to myself, I very quickly realized that this guy does not know what he's talking about. A man that had gone off to one of the prestigious seminary schools can sit here and tell a hungry heart that. In fact, I'd asked myself, I'd like to have a Bible study. Is there any way that we could get together for a Bible study? And you probably heard me say it 100 times. But I think it was actually September or October. And he said, well, why don't we wait till after Christmas? I'm under conviction of sin. I know that I need to have a changed life. And he wants to start a Bible study with me in months. He said, things will slow down by then. In fact, after I got saved, I went back to him and I said, do you ever preach against sin in your church? I've never heard you preach against sin. He said, if I preached against sin, they'd throw me out. But we need to have a new birth. And talking about the characteristics of true Christianity, the very first thing is we need to be born into the family of God. Nobody becomes a Christian because you were born into a good home. If your mother and father are Christians and you were born into that home, and now that you're raised, you may be raised in the Christian life, and you may say, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. I've always been a Christian. I talk to people in the street. I do street ministry. And when I talk to them on the street, well, I've always been a Christian. I was raised a Christian. I said, well, when did you meet God? When did God change your life? And they have no idea what I'm talking about. This is America. This is right here in our backyard. This isn't some foreign a country that's living in a third world environment where maybe there's lack of food and knowledge and everything. This is right here in America. Gospel hardened America, where they really don't even know anymore about what the truth of God's word teaches us. And so when we think about what true Christianity is, we must begin with what God's Word says. Long before you ever get to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Before you ever get to that, you better read the beginning of John chapter 3. Because the beginning of John chapter 3 lays the foundation for verse 16. Without the beginning of John chapter 3, without a new birth, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, with the knowledge of the English knowledge of that word believe, is far different than what the Word of God teaches us. That word believe is pisteo in the Greek, but it means to believe in such a way that you're actually following in the footsteps of Christ. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ so much that you want to live exactly like Him. You want to live pure. You want to live holy. And you walk with Him in communion with Him. That's what biblical believing in the Lord Jesus Christ is. That's biblical John 3:16, which you'll never achieve. You'll never have that in your life unless you've experienced the beginning of John chapter 3 that talks about a new birth. So if we really have the characteristics of true Christianity in our lives, it will begin with a new birth. Well, now, if you look across the world, you can find all kinds of people, you can find all kinds of churches, and I could even name some presidents that have professed and say, yeah, I've been born again. I'm a good whatever church you want to put the label on it. Yeah, I went to this kind of church, and yeah, I've been born again, I've been saved. How comes they didn't live like it? Because true Christianity, the characteristics of true Christianity will show the evidences, which I'd like to get to secondarily here in a moment, the evidences of a new birth. In order to be born of God, whatever kind of label you want to put on it, whether you want to call it being saved, or whether you want to call it being transformed, whether you want to call it being born again, hear Christ use the words born again. In other words, a new birth, a new transformation. If a baby is born into your home, as I mentioned this morning, if a newborn baby, you bring a baby home from the hospital, you know that you have a baby. You know that you have a live baby. You know that you have a child that's hungry and thirsty and wants and cries when it needs what it needs. If we've really been born of God, there's going to be evidences of that. Well, how do we become born of God? Is it possible that we come to know God? What are some of the things that need to take place in our lives? Well, depending on what group you talk to, some will say, well, just believe on Jesus. Well, you know, the devils believe and tremble. Do you think that just because Satan believes in Jesus that he's going to end up in heaven? There are countless millions and perhaps even billions of people upon the face of the earth that believe Jesus Christ and believe that He's the Son of God, but they've never been born into the family of God. They know not God because they live in wickedness and in sin. They've never been born of Him. It takes a whole lot more than believing. A new birth comes about. And I like to look at these components. I don't know how far we'll get tonight with this, but I like to first of all look at the fact that we need to confess our sins. We need to confess our sins. I had somebody one time, maybe it even happened more than once, but this person, they wanted to talk to me, and they had done all these bad things in their life, and I found out they wanted to sit down and talk to me like a priest. They wanted to tell me all their sins, as if that I would have any power at all to save them. I've had people that have prayed, come, and sought God, and later they say, yeah, the pastor saved me back then. Oh, no. No, I have no saving, redeeming power in of myself. There's nothing that I can do to change your life. I can pray for you, but unless you come to the place in your own heart and in your own mind where you are willing to confess, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So first of all, I'd like you to know, in order to have a new birth, in order to be born again, we must confess our sins, not to man. Not to any man on earth. Now, sometimes it does do good to talk to somebody. There are times that maybe it'll help you to work through some things and really come to the place and know what is sin and know what is not sin. Because the old devil sometimes, he'd like to trick us into thinking some things are sin that aren't. And gets you all confused. He loves to play head games. But friends, until we come to the place where we have truly confessed our sins to God, and we come to Him, and we tell Him about the sins that come to our mind in that time of prayer, and we tell Him all about those things, and then we also confess even the things that we can't remember, because you will never remember all the little things that you've done from childhood all the way up. But we start by confessing our sins to God, admitting that we are a sinner, and asking God for forgiveness. Some people, perhaps they've lived a really good life. And this is hard for them. Because they may have lived, and it's hard to meet somebody by God. Every so often, you will meet somebody who has lived an almost spotless life. They lived a life that was so close, and they haven't really done anything major wrong. I think about Keith Daniel from South Africa and his mom, who had lived an exemplary life. In fact, her son got saved, the other son got saved, then her husband got saved, and they're all trying to get mom saved. They're telling her she needs to confess her sins. And she said to Keith one day, she said, now Keith, you tell me what I need to be saved from. Have you ever heard me swear? Have you ever seen me take a drink? Have I ever smoked a cigarette? And she just went down all the things that most people would have done. And Keith had been a preacher of the gospel. He was gripped. He thought to himself, well, Mom's right in some way. I don't know Mom to have ever committed a sin. I've never known her to lie. I've never known her to cheat, to steal, do anything. He said, I don't know of any sin. I can't put my finger on a single sin that Mom has ever committed. So you get somebody like that and they find it hard to confess. What are they going to confess? Well, they kept praying for it because they knew that there must be some kind of sin in their life. Because everybody has sinned. For all sin, fallen short of the glory of God, the Word of God says. So that means everybody has sinned in some place along the way. One day a missionary stops by the house and is talking to Keith's mom. And the missionary is telling her how she needs to get saved. She needs to confess her sin. And she tells her the same thing. She says, well, what do I need to confess? I haven't done anything wrong. And the missionary was very alarmed. She starts going, oh my. And she starts getting excited. Oh, I can't believe this. And she's like, what's wrong? I haven't done anything wrong. There's nothing for me to confess. She says, you've committed the greatest sin of all. She said, what are you talking about? Oh, and the missionary was very gripped. She couldn't believe this. This lady is sitting here saying she's never sinned against God. She says, you have committed the greatest sin of all. And now Keith Daniels' mom's starting to get concerned. She said, you have called God a liar. Because if you'll read in the book of 1 John chapter 1, you'll find to say that you have no sin and that you have never sinned, you have called God a liar. You may not remember exactly what you've done, but somewhere along the line, you have sinned against God. You were born into a sinful world, you have a sinful heart, and there is sin somewhere lurking down in the depths of your heart somewhere. And to say that you have no sin, you call God a liar, and now you've committed perhaps one of the greatest sins that could ever be committed. To call God a liar. We need to first of all confess our sins. Every sin that we can remember. Everything that comes to mind. And it's amazing. You really get real with God and you start seeking God and you're, whether it's a private time of prayer, or maybe it's at the front of a church, or maybe it's with a counselor somewhere, and you start confessing out your sins and you start praying. You could be all alone and just confessing out to God. It's amazing how when you really get hungry for God, how God will start bringing all the things that you did wrong back to your mind. And you start confessing out, and when you're done confessing everything that you can think of, you better just put a blanket confession. Oh God, I know I'm a wicked sinner, God. I can't even remember all the things I've done, but Lord, I confess I'm a sinner, and I confess all of my sin to you. And we have a promise. If, it doesn't say, well, maybe if you confess your sins, but as long as you believe. No, it doesn't say that. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. There is a condition to be forgiven, is there not? God's word declares a condition. In fact, there are some other conditions. Secondly, is repentance. There must be a spirit of repentance. For godly sorrow worketh repentance. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. Repentance is turning away from living in sin with a God-felt sorrow in your heart that you are so sorry for the things that you've done. That you are willing to turn from them forever. You are willing to forsake your sins. I'm not saying that it's possible in your own ability to do that. But from the center of your soul, you are so gripped and you are so convicted by your sins. You just confessed them all out to God. And now you recognize how evil they are and how much they've hurt God. How you sinned against Him. That you want to turn from them forever. The last thing that you ever want to do in your soul, again, is to sin against God. Because you now are developing a new love for Him. A true repentance is God-felt sorrow to the point that you are willing to forsake all of your sins forever. And my friends, until you've come to the place of clear, biblical repentance, you will never truly have an experience with God that will change your life. You cannot do it on your own. In fact, you can confess all your sins every single night of your life. But until you come to the place where you are so sorry for them that I am willing to turn from them forever. Now, if I walked over here, and I wouldn't do this to my precious brother, but if I walked over to him and I slugged him upside the head, and then I said, oh, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And then I turn around and I feel like doing it again, and I slug him again. How many times do I slug my friend and say, will you forgive me? I mean, do you think he's going to come to the place where he doesn't believe me? That I'm really sorry? Oh, I'm sorry. I won't do it again. And then I do it again. How many of us have done that to God? We go to bed at night. Oh, God, forgive me. I've sinned against you again in this area. But the next day we wake up and we do it again. It's just like reaching out and slapping God. Oh God, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that, and you do it again. You know, when you have true biblical repentance, every part of your being will want to stop sinning against God. But until you've been transformed, you can't do it. And I'd like to talk to you about what the next thing in the experience of really achieving a new birth. No baby has ever been brought into this world without travail. No baby has ever been brought into this world without true travail. That travail soul that brings about that repentance, that brings about that desire to confess and really recognize who we are and that we are completely undone. We need to first confess our sins. Secondly, we need to repent. And then thirdly comes the word that most people know, which is belief. Faith. A faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is received. We can only be saved by faith. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. We can't be saved on our own. You know, when I talk about that we must confess and we must repent, those are the things that prepare our heart and to condition us to get to the place where we can truly have that believing faith that will work a miracle in our lives and transform us by the power of God. It is a gift come from God. And we can only have it by the grace of God. We need to put our faith in Christ. Why is salvation possible? It's because of what Christ did. It's because of what He did on the cross. And all of our actions alone, unless we come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and recognize that He paid the price for our sins, recognize that we were undone, we can't stop it on our own. I tried for month after month after month as I tried to come to God. I was 28 years old and I was under conviction. I was miserable and I confessed my sins every single night of my life and I'd get on my knees beside my bed and I'd call out to God, oh God, I don't want to live this way anymore. And I'd wake up the next day and do it all over again. But God started to reveal to my heart about a need to repent. And when the repentance became full-blown in my life, and I really was willing to turn from my sins, and I was willing to put my sins away, I walked into the human resource department of the place where I worked, and I admitted to lying on my application to get that job. And you want to talk about repentance, you start making some restitutions. You start setting some things. I'm not saying that you can set everything right in your life, but if God's really doing a work in your heart and you want God more than anything, you'll be willing to set some wrongs right. And when God shows you something and He wants you to deal with that, He wants you to take care of that, He wants to make that right, you'll either make that right or you have not a spirit of repentance. Because the spirit of repentance is a continuous thing in your life. If God shows you something else, I appreciate our brother talking about the light of God. God's been showing him things and he's been just walking away from that's light. You know, once we've been saved, there's also walking in the light. And I don't want to get ahead. That's some points down the road in this message. But if we've really been saved, we come to God and we confess our sins and we repent of them. We're willing to turn from them forever. We now have the ability to really truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We now know why we need Him. Because we see what we are. We're so broken for our sins. And now we can cry out to Jesus, oh, Jesus, save me. I know that I'm undone. I know that I'm undone. I know that I can't make it. I am doomed and I'm going to go to hell unless you save me. And we cast that on Him. You know, some people, they want to put Jesus on when they want Him and they want to take Him off when they don't want Him. I like the way Brother Ray Comfort mentioned it in some of his training. True faith in Christ is like the same thing as putting on a parachute. He said, if the flight's comfortable and they came to you and said, here, put this parachute on, you look at them and say, well, what do I need a parachute for? But if they came to you and said, number two and number three engine just went out on the airplane and we are going to crash. Here's a parachute. You must put this on to save your life and you must jump. You have a whole different concept and a whole different faith in that parachute. And you put that parachute on and you want that parachute to be just part of you and you cast your entire faith of existence out on that parachute. When you jump out that airplane and you pull that ripcord, you are trusting that parachute to save your life. And that's a close analogy to what I'm trying to convey to you. That when we recognize that we're undone, we recognize that we're lost in our sins, and we repent of our sins and are willing to turn from our sins, we now then cast our entire selves upon Christ because there is nothing we can do for ourselves. If we plummet from that airplane without that parachute, there is no way that we're going to live. Even if we landed in water, at thousands of feet, when you smack that water, it's going to be like concrete. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ so much that we're trusting Him, with everything that we are, we've now come to the place and something is going to happen. At that point, something happens to you that is supernatural. In and of your own abilities, you have no ability to stop the sins. You might reform yourself in certain areas. But you will never put away all of your sins in your life. It's impossible for you to do that on your own. But when you have confessed your sins and you've truly come to that place of repentance and you cast yourself in faith upon Christ to save you, a transformation takes place in the heart, and all of a sudden the things that you couldn't break away from, the things that you couldn't stop, you have a new power, a new strength. You find that when you go to prayer, all of a sudden prayer life is a whole lot different than it used to be, because you recognize that you're in communion with the God of gods and King of kings and Lord of lords, and you're able to have that communion with Him. Praise the Lord. You're able to cry out, Abba, Father, hallelujah. I'm glad to be a part of the family of God today. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that it's real. Hallelujah. Something happens on the inside that gets you excited, and you know, I'm not saying that you're going to have some magnificent emotional experience and you're going to get up and parade around a church. Some people believe that way. Like some people come to an altar of prayer, they come and they pray and they get emotional and they can get all excited and happy and jump around, but they've never been changed. They've got another spirit. In fact, they caught another spirit that's devilish. If you've caught a spirit, if you've got an emotion, if you've got some kind of thing that seems to be supernatural, but you go out and you can still do all the sins that you ever did before, my friend, you don't have salvation. You got Satan living on the inside, and he's got you to deceive to think that you have salvation. But you get the real thing with God, and all of a sudden something happens in your life. The things that you knew that you couldn't do before, the things that were impossible for you to do, it's amazing. Your language gets in line. You don't use the same language you use. The conversations you used to have with the guys at work, it all changes. Hallelujah. I'm talking from experience, because I know I tried to stop all those bad things I'd say with the guys at work and the conversations that we have, and I couldn't do it. But when I found God, God changed me. Hallelujah. I had a new strength. I had a new ability to walk, not enough myself. And you cut out my prayer time, you cut out my Bible reading, and you'll see how quick I'll fall and plummet to my spiritual death again. Because you only walk with God as you stay in communion with Him, and you live in His presence, and you get in His presence, and you get in the Word of God. And you know the amazing thing, one of the amazing things that happens too, is the Word of God becomes alive. Hallelujah, it's alive! When you're born of God and Jesus Christ is living on the inside, you'll be flipping through the pages and it just kind of jumps right out to you. And it strikes you, I've never seen it that way before. And God just starts revealing so much of His Word to you. Oh, hallelujah. It just makes you hungry. You just want to read more and more. You want to dive deeper in God's Word because it's so real. It's so alive. Praise the Lord. You know why a lot of people don't understand the Bible? They don't know the author. But you get to know the author and you'll understand the Word of God. It becomes alive to you. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You want to do the will of God. Why do you want to do the will of God? Because He's living in you. He's really living inside of you. A new birth, praise the Lord. One final point that I'd like to talk about as far as a new birth goes. And that is during the time of your seeking God. It's receiving by faith. But we need to pray until we know the work is done. And when the work is done, in chapter 8 and verse 16, it says, the Spirit itself, the Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Hallelujah. When we really pray through, when we really get through with God, and we've come to that place, not only do we know that our sins are forgiven, and all the weight and all the burden of that sin that bore us down and wore us down, there'll be a witness from God's Spirit, and that can be revealed to us in many ways. But we will know beyond a shadow of a doubt, there is emotion when you come to Christ. Some people just kneel and weep and cry, and they'll never hear people. I've seen people jump up and shout hallelujah and get all excited in the faith, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it either way happening. You know, I think every salvation experience is probably just a little bit different from somebody else's. Praise God. Because when you get real with God, we're all unique characters. I remember this one lady. She was seeking God, and she's seeking for a feeling. And she thought that, well, you know, I'm going to get up and run around and shout and be filled with joy. And so that's what she's seeking for. She's confessing her sins and she's waiting for this joy to hit her. And one of the saints of the church, she got up beside her and started to talk with her and said, well, you won't get that until you really get through. You're getting the cart before the horse. You know, you're not going to have a joyous rapture feeling. You're not going to have a witness from God's Spirit until the work is done. You want a witness before the work is finished. And she helped her and counseled her and continued to pray, and glory did strike her soul. Hallelujah. God changed her life. Her testimony became so real in church. She stayed up and testified. People weep and cry. You know, when we get real with God and when God has really done a transformation in our life, we are a new creature. Hallelujah. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And friends, you know, that's the glorious message of Christ. I don't know any religion on earth that changes somebody except true Christianity. I don't know of any. And if they are, it's some kind of false conversion. Because without the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. He's the only way. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh except through me. I'm missing a couple of the words, forgive me. John 14, I believe in verse 6. Praise the Lord. Christ is the only way. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. Praise God. John 14 and verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So there is a new birth to be had. You know, there are some evidences of the new birth, and I certainly don't have them all here because the Word of God just, I mean, it's just filled with all kinds of evidences to know that you're born of God. But I'll tell you, one of the best ways you can find out if you're really born of God, open up your Bible to 1 John, to the book of 1 John, 1 John, and read it from chapter 1 to chapter 5. And you go through the Bible and you will find over and over and over again. In fact, I did this with one of my Bibles. A preacher preached a message. He went through 1 John and he said, I want you to just circle every place that it shows you whether you're born of God. And you went the whole way through and you find again and again and again all the evidences to know whether you're born of God. I'm just going to share a few of those with you here tonight. 1 John chapter 2 and verses 3 down to verse 6. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought also himself to walk, so to walk, even as he walked. So in evidence of the new birth, we're going to keep his commandments. And if we're not keeping his commandments, if we find it a struggle, we find it a grief, oh, I mean, I got to do that. Friends, you're not born of God. I say that in faithfulness to you tonight. If the commandments of God are grievous to you to do the will of God, you are not truly born of God. You cannot be according to God's word because his commandments will become natural. That's the word of God. That's not my preaching. I just read the word of God to you. And I just expounded on a few little parts of the Word of God. The Word of God plainly reveals to us if we keep His commandments. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Fast forwarding to 1 John chapter 3. Here's a good one. I love to use this one out on the street. I meet people all over the place, and I just love to open up the Word of God and have them read it for themselves out loud. They'll tell me they're a Christian, and it just, I just sometimes feel God. I said, well, here, can you read this for me? Can you just read this for me? And I'll have them read 1 John chapter 3. You can start in verse 9 and 10. You can specifically just hit verse 9. You can go back. I'm going to read to you from 1 John chapter 3, verses 6 through verse 10. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. And we look at the Word of God. Friends, I don't even have to say one other word. The Word of God stands up on its own. It speaks. I do want to bring out one little point here in verse 9. It says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for a seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. This deeply know, I want you to fully understand this. This means that all the sins that we have light on, everything that we know to be sin, we will turn from. And if we have not turned from what we know to be sin, we are not born of God. And God's Spirit remains in us. And because His Spirit is in us, He starts to bring light, just like He did to our brother. Start to show him some things. And you know what? When we get that light, if we're born of God, we say, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, for showing me that. I don't ever want to do that again. Then He gives us the strength to resist it and walk away from it. I'm not saying that we become some pinpoint figure of absolute perfection. That is not my meaning. That's why I want to clarify what this verse is talking about. It means that we no longer continue in willful, known, continuous sin in our lives. And because the seed is in us, as He shows us new things, we walk in the light and we walk away from sin. Praise the Lord. We don't continue in it. Now, it does not mean that it's impossible for you to ever sin against God. And I want you to know today that if you've been walking with God and you have sinned against God, you need to confess it, forsake it, and He'll continue to walk. You'll continue to walk with Him. In fact, in the beginning of 1 John chapter 2, I don't have it in my notes. Let me turn to it. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus Christ is our advocate. And He will forgive us if we'll turn to Him. But if we commit an act of sin, first of all, we will be convicted immediately. God will show us. God will reveal to us. Maybe if it's an issue of understanding, He will bring a revelation. You will begin to understand that what you did is wrong. And He'll allow you to confess it and repent of it and continue to walk with Him. But you do sin against God, and you start to go in a different direction, and you're not willing to walk in the light, you'll find how quickly you go right back to the vomit where you came from. Because if a person will not mind God and will not obey God, and when God's given you something is like that, light does not change. He doesn't change His mind later. Unless some people say, well, you know, I used to believe that way, but I don't believe that way anymore, and I believe it's okay that I do this. You mean God convicted you back then, and now He changed His mind? Where are you getting your conviction from? Is it coming from the Word of God or from some man teaching you something? If God has shown you and you've seen it in His Word and God has outlined it and shown you very plainly and it's written in God's Word and you come to understand that that is there and you turn against that and you resist that, you can say all the things that you want. You can take all man's interpretation of what they might think about what God's Word says. But the fact of the matter is what God's Word says is what we'll be held accountable to when we understand what it means. And just because I stand here and preach to you tonight does not mean everything I'm saying is light to you. Because God has to bring that to your understanding. You have to come to understand God's Word. And when you understand that area of God's Word and you know what is sin, you know not what is sin, you know what real salvation is, and you abandon the false ways of salvation, the false teachings, you'll have light and God will help you to walk and you'll learn. Many people struggle to walk with God because they've never truly had a new birth. They've never really had a full born-again experience. They've had some emotional crises. They've had some times in their life where God has done something. Maybe He's even healed them of some sicknesses. Praise God for His mercy. Praise God for His mercy that reaches out to us even lost in our sin and sometimes just helps us along the way. I praise God for that today. But I can tell you right now that God is not playing games. He's not playing games with your mind. He's not playing games with your head to get you to, oh, you don't know what's up. You don't know what's down. You're not really sure what real salvation is, friends. It's playing in the Word of God. And if you'll just simply read it and believe it and act on it, God will help you to walk with Him. And the evidences will be so fluid in your life. I said it before, I'll say it again. And I'm not saying that every Amish man on earth is born again. In fact, there's probably a higher percentage that are not born of God. But I like the way this was said. Somebody asked an Amish man one time, are you a child of God? Are you a Christian? And they said, don't ask me, you ask my neighbors. Because you know, the people around you will know that you have been changed. They will know that you have been transformed. It will be evident. Now there may be some that will persecute you and say all kind of manner of evil against you. I'm not talking about getting their opinion. But I'm talking about the average neighbor that has seen your transforming life, that knows you. Maybe it's the people in the workforce and they recognize you don't use the same language you use. You don't talk the way you used to talk. You have new interests in life. You're hungry for the things of God. You want to talk about spiritual things. There are evidences to know that you've been born of God. Hallelujah. Two little things I'll share here unless the Lord shows me otherwise. John Wesley is quoted as saying this. What are the marks of a new birth? He says, so to believe in God through Christ as not to commit sin and to enjoy at all times the peace of God, so to hope in God through Christ as not to have only the testimony of a good conscience, but also the Spirit of God bearing witness with yours, so to love God as you never loved any creature and all men as yourselves. And I like the way he said that. There are evidences to know that you are born of God. Praise the Lord. I struggled. I struggled coming to God. I wanted to get right with God. I pray every single night of my life. But until repentance was manifested in my life, until where I could, every idol was torn down. Hallelujah. Every idol was torn down. I idolized my wife. One of the last things I left at the altar was my wife. Am I willing that even if she walked away from me, that I will serve God supremely above anything else? You see, sometimes we can have idols built up in our life, and there are things that we're afraid of losing. Well, if I serve God, then so-and-so is not going to go with me, and I'm going to end up losing their friendship. I'm going to end up losing that relationship with that. You know what? A relationship with God is greater than any other relationship on the face of the earth. And it's the most important one that we can have. And I don't know why I'm going down this road tonight. I don't even talk about this too much. But you know that marriage is an earthly thing. It's an earthly possession. When we leave this world, we are no longer man and wife. We are the angels. We're not even men and women any longer, according to the Word of God. And don't let anything keep you from serving God. In fact, I give you in closing the advice that my father gave me. When I came to my father and I told him that I had been given some ultimatums, that in order for me to remain with my wife, I would have to back off on certain things in my Christian walk. And I would have to start doing some of the things that we used to do together that were ungodly. That was my ultimatum. And you know what? I almost turned. I came so close to turning, and I sat down with my dad, who was backslidden, hadn't served God all of his life that I ever knew him. But I sat there visiting my dad. You know, I'll tell you what, when you really find God, you honor your mother and father. My dad, who I would hardly talk to but once a year, after I got saved, I went to visit him. I'd drive almost 2 hours to go visit him a couple times a month sometimes. And I'd go down and I'd preach to him right in the living room, and I'd share the Word of God because I wanted my dad to get saved. And I never knew what he was about to tell me. When I talked to him about that my marriage was possibly going to be shattered, and this was right after I got saved, just a short period afterwards, he said these words to me that I have never forgotten. And while my dad was never there for me growing up because my parents split and he was an alcoholic and far from God, I'd see my dad once or twice a year as a boy growing up. But you know, the day that I needed dad the most, he was there. The day that I was ready to turn back on God, my dad was there. A man who knew not God began tears running down his cheeks. And he said, Rodney, don't you ever let anyone, don't you ever let anything come between you and God. Don't you let anything ever keep you from serving God. And he told me what happened in his life. He said, I had gotten saved and I was serving God. And I remember hearing from some of the other guys about my dad's salvation. After I found out about this, I talked to some of the preachers and stuff that knew him back in those years. He said, I had gotten saved, and he said, I had a call to preach. He said, in fact, I was preparing to go off to a Bible college out in Indiana. But he said, your mom started to tear me down. And started to tear me down. No way that you could preach. You only got an 8th grade education. First of all, it was my father's fault to choose to go back to sin. But there was something that was taking place. And that was even somebody in his own home was becoming an instrument of destruction in his life. And when I found that out and I recognized, see, my father lost his wife anyways, my mother. She left him anyways because of his sinful life. If I had turned back to sin, who knows what I would have became. I'm glad to say that today, my dad was there for me when I needed the right advice. And I give you the same advice today. Don't you let anyone, don't you let anything ever come between you and God. If you're afraid of losing something in this world, my friend, that is an idol to you and it will keep you from serving God. It'll always be a barrier between you and God. But if you'll get so real with God, you'll want Him more than anything. And friends, He's able to keep you. Hallelujah. He is able to keep you in the midst of this old wicked world. He's able to keep you hungry for Him and walking with Him. Praise the Lord. He's able to keep you pure and holy. He's able to keep you pure even in the midst of this old wicked world and all the temptations around you and all the temptations of the human body. I can tell you that God is able to keep you pure. Hallelujah. No matter what you might face. Sister Sebo, could you return to the piano? And I don't know if there's anybody here today, and you think to yourself after hearing this message tonight, I know I'm not born of God. I'd like to open up just a time of prayer, and if you'd like to seek God tonight and get real with God, I encourage you to come. Because there is a real place with serving God. And there is a new birth. And there is a glorious walk with Him. And there is peace and happiness and joy. But you know, there's also sometimes a lot of persecution and difficulty. Are you willing to pay that price too? They hung Jesus on the cross. Some people want an easy road. They want an easy Christianity. They think that if they really get right with God, oh, then everything's just going to go right and the money's going to be falling out of my pockets and everything's going to work out just right. Friends, that's not biblical Christianity. Thank God if He blesses you that way. But will you serve Him if you live in a trailer and in a trailer park and you're scraping two nickels together just to buy a sandwich or buy a loaf of bread somewhere so that you can eat? Are you willing to serve God if you're walking on Skid Row? Where are you at tonight? Do you know God? Are you really born of Him? I don't get up here and preach this way because I want to try to get somebody on an emotional trip that they'll come and pray and I can say, hey, I had one at the altar tonight. Whether you pray at this altar, whether you pray at home, it makes no difference to me where you find God. But I also know that God's Word tells us that nobody can come unto Him except He draw him. And if you're being drawn by God tonight, if you sense God tugging at your heart, now's the time to seek Him because you will not find Him just when you want to find Him. You can ask me about that. God did come to me. God drew my heart early on. I wouldn't have had to go through 18 long months of conviction and suffering and difficulty to come to God. If I had answered it the first time He called me, I could have saved myself a whole lot of trouble. He came to me when I was sitting in my truck, and I'm sitting there in my truck. I'm choosing to go to a party where there was cocaine and alcohol, and I could have went and had a high old time, and God spoke to me and said, Rodney, the life you're living is not for you. Come unto me. And I weighed out the options, God or the party. And my old sinful heart shut the voice of God out, and I put that truck in gear, and I went to that party, and something died in my soul that day. Because I turned the eternal hand of God away from me. And I spent about 18 long months of agonizing and praying and seeking God and reading my Bible and crying out to God. And God just left me dig my way through until I finally came to the place that inside of me all my idols were torn down. And I was willing to repent of all my sins. And everything in life meant nothing if I did not have God. Now God is speaking to some hearts here today. And He's drawing some hearts. Do you want to take it when He's drawing you? Or do you want to hope that maybe you'll get through sometime later? And maybe you'll be like this pastor and be able to dig your way through and finally get to the place where God begins to draw you again because it was dry. I'm telling you, the Word of God was hard as bricks. I couldn't hardly understand it when I read it. I had to read a half an hour and I don't know if I got more than a couple verses digested. And I'd pray every night at the side of my bed, God, I hate this life. I don't want to live this way anymore. But I didn't find salvation. But God looked down and He's seen a man that started to get serious. He's seen a man that was willing to turn from his sins. He's seen a man that was willing to walk into a human resource department and even possibly forfeit a nearly $50,000 a year computer job when I walked in there and said, I lied on my application. I was in jail before. I lied on my application. And he started to see. In fact, it was that very night that I made that restitution that I got saved. Because God knew I meant business. God knew that I was willing to turn from my sins. This altar's open if anybody'd like to seek God. I hope you don't grieve God's Spirit tonight. I can't say you'll have another opportunity. I can't say that you won't. Maybe God will be merciful to you and He'll draw you tomorrow. I don't know. But I know a preacher one day that stood at the front of a church and he said these words, and I'm not saying it applies to you today, but this doesn't always come to my mind, but it's coming to my mind now. He even said in that meeting, he said, there is somebody here today that will never hear another sermon preached and they will go out into eternity if they don't seek God tonight. And sure enough, a man in that congregation met God. He died in an accident. He was either on the way home from that meeting or within the next couple of days. He never had another opportunity to seek God. I don't know if that's your lot in life. I don't know. But I know God is here right now. I know God is here and He's speaking to hearts. And I'm asking you, are you willing to seek Him? I can't tell you when I've had a burden to preach like this. It's been a little while. But I know God is faithful. Oh God. God, you know every heart that's here. You know the ones that you're speaking to, Lord. I plead for your mercy. I thank you, God, for your faithfulness. I thank you, God, for your faithfulness to speak to our hearts tonight through your word. Would you listen to God? Can you hear him calling your name? Say you're not sure if you're born of God? Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that you reveal the sins of men's hearts here at this time. Lord God, that you'd speak to their mind, that you'd reveal their sins to them. Has God brought anything to your mind right now? Are some of those sins flashing before your eyes? You know you're condemned in your sins. And if you're condemned in your sins, you will not make it into eternity with God. But you will suffer for all of eternity in a devil's hell, burning in torment and the smoke of the torment arising up. Is that what you want for your life? Lazarus was ushered into the arms of God, into the bosom of God. But the other man wasn't so fortunate. He desired even so much as one drop of water for his tongue. He desired and recognized that he had failed and he had missed. He said, oh God, would you just send somebody to my brethren? But God had sent them prophets. If you miss heaven, you'll hear my voice again. You'll hear this message perhaps repeated over and over again. In fact, you may even see all the sins that God has already shown you here in this meeting tonight in your life. And you'll recognize the door of opportunity. Not only the torment of the physical, but the torment of knowing that you've resisted the call of God. Is there anybody here tonight that needs to mind God? Is there anybody here tonight that you don't know if you're born of God? Maybe you're afraid. Maybe you're not sure what this will mean for your life. Can I tell you that God will not take advantage of you? He won't make you do something crazy. He won't make you do things that are beyond his word. And all that's written in his word is holy and pure and righteous and to be done by all. Will you choose him tonight? Or will you choose your way? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you and praise you tonight for being so good to us, being so pure and so holy and so faithful. Thank you, Lord. Is there anybody else here tonight that needs to clear their heart with God? I'm not going to tarry but another moment longer. Do you know God? Are you real with God? Are your sins under the blood? Do you have the evidences of the new birth? Have you truly confessed your sins? Have you truly repented? Have you been so sorry for your sins you don't ever want to live in them any longer? Have you received faith? Have you received salvation by faith and faith alone? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think God's through with every heart here tonight. But I have to wonder, are you through with God? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. And Lord, give us wisdom to tarry longer to close this time. I'm a mortal man that knows so little. And I plead with you tonight that your voice would be so real in every mind and every heart. Lord God, have your way with us tonight. It may have happened when you were a child. It may have been something that turned you from God. Maybe somebody in the ministry. Maybe somebody that did something awful. Somebody that hurt your feelings. What keeps you from seeking God? Do you know him tonight? For a while in my life, I didn't think I could get saved. I thought I was too bad. God specializes in tough cases. Maybe you think your sins aren't that bad, that you don't really need to pray. Remember, if we think that we have not sinned, we call God a liar. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. I pray, God, that you would bless these young ladies that have come to pray tonight, that you would lead them into eternal salvation that's real, that works, that lasts. Help them to recover, Lord. I pray, God, for each and every other person here. Maybe there's some that have not sought, that should have. Lord God, would you continue to be faithful to them and merciful to them? Lord God, that they leave these doors and have a new hunger to seek you and seek you out even in the night. I pray, God, if there's any soul here, Lord, that is not willing to seek you tonight, God, that you would give them a restless night. Not that I pray your wrath upon them, but God, that they would be restless in their sins and would awake and call out to you and would know you as Savior. And Lord, for those that are walking with you, God, would you bless them and fill them with your presence, Lord, and encourage them and strengthen them. Lord God, we'll give you praise for all that you do. For you are pure and holy and righteous. In Jesus' name we thank you. And we give you all the praise and glory for all that you've done here tonight. That you would consider it possible to use this vessel, Lord. Unworthy as I am, we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen.